This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
You're listening to Power Talk. It's now time for the Entrepreneurial Edge, where we speak to those men and women doing great things that solve for the problems in our community. And remember this morning, with Rand Water introducing stage two restrictions, I think it's what it's called, or level two restrictions on water supply. People were now asking online, what is happening in Joburg? Do we need to have a generator plus a JoJo tank in order to survive life in the city at the moment? And then somebody added, and a vegetable garden and a chicken coop because of inflation. You need to just be completely, completely self-sufficient. But what if you're somebody in the rural areas where, honestly, the water agencies in the metropoles haven't yet set up the linkages to the district municipalities, the smaller satellite towns that need the core infrastructure? What do you do? Well, you call Kolega Ndwasa, who's the founder of Go Green Rotor Molding. And she and her husband, who started this business, might be able to help you at the very least with getting you water that's been harvested from the rain to keep your homestead, business, and just your home in the rural area working well? And is this a solution for the cities now with the infrastructure issues that we have? Kolega, good morning.
Good morning, Lerato. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming through. So first and foremost, let's get an understanding of what is Go Green Rotor Molding.
Okay, Go Green Rotor Molding is a factory, a manufacturing plant, that is manufacturing water tanks.
Okay.
So the rotor in the name refers to rotational molding, meaning that our machine has a mold, and then the machine is called a rock and roller. So inside the mold, the mold is rolling, and then the machine is rocking. So it's rotational molding.
We do love it. I mean, have a little bit of fun at work. But you are solving for a very critical problem with your business, which is water tankers, because in the rural areas and in many townships, people just don't have access to water. And it's not because of a drought. It's not because we live in a water scarce country. It's because the pipes, you know, connecting homes to water and reservoir systems are not properly maintained, or they don't exist at all.
Exactly. And on top of that, there are now natural disasters as well, you know, adding to the problems that you were mentioning, where infrastructure is being destroyed or is not serviced. But at the end of the day, there is a water crisis in the country.
How pronounced is it in the Eastern Cape? Because my understanding is that's where your business is based. That's where you're from.
Yes. We are from Queenstown. We are in Queenstown, in the Komani Industrial Area, Industrial Park, where there are lots of factories there. And then, we have a part of, we are part of those factories there.
And so how bad is the situation, Kolega, concerning water supply in the Eastern Cape? There was a time where we were told that it's so bad in Gqeberha, they're going to day zero.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, people go without water for days, you know. But as you know, people need to make a plan. And a plan is nothing else but to conserve your water, you know, meaning you need to have a water tank somehow in your house. And for us, we are now adding a biodigester tank, which is now going to solve your sanitation problem, especially for the rural areas then.
What do you call it, a bio? Digester.
Digester, yes.
So that's cleaning, your bathroom and toilet waters?
No, it doesn't necessarily clean, but it is a tank that goes underground, you know, outside of your house, and then has connections inside the house. Because as you use the bathroom, your waste goes into that water tank, and then it biodigests. It digests the waste, whether it is food waste or cow dung mm-hmm. waste, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then in the process, then there's the piping that will go to water your vegetable garden, mm-hmm. you know, which is called grey water. And then there's methane gas now, gas that will now be connected to the inside of the house, where you are now going to have cooking energy. All right. So besides cooking, you can also even use it for lighting. All right. Mm-hmm. So in the rural areas, it then provides people with flushing toilets. Okay. Instead of a peat toilet.
So you've described two issues here. Potable mm. water, drinking water, and mm. Water that needs to be sorted out for sanitation. So are those the two-pronged problems for communities in your area?
No, we also have electricity issues. So our factory has already partnered with a company that also doing providing solar energy. So we are also going to, give access mm. and solve the electricity issues, because here we also have load shedding every day. People can't cook, can't do anything most of the time. So if we use solar energy, many of the problems will also be solved. So we are not only going to manufacture water tanks, but mm. we have partnered, as I say, with a company that's called Off the Grid, which is actually taking people off Eskom, you know. So our expansion plans go further to say we are also manufacturing, we haven't started, but we are going to do interlocking blocks. This now means we're going to provide the government, you know, with a package that says, let's have an RDP house now that is built using the interlocking blocks, and then have a solar energy on top of the house, have a water tank next to the house, have underground a biodigester tank. Then you have somehow solved many of the problems, wow. because it means people will not illegally connect electricity, because if they are not working, they can't afford electricity. Mm. Okay.
So, colleague, from what I'm understanding is you've looked at the community and you said there's no utilities here or they're dysfunctional and we need to create an environment where people have those basics, lights, water and sanitation. Basically, the UN Sustainable Development Goals, you are providing them, and the state is not.
We're trying. Lurato, it means we need to start small. We need to be brave enough to say, if we're not coming up with innovative ideas in the areas where we are, who else is going to help us? So we got into a sector, a manufacturing sector, which we have no idea about. But mm-hmm. what we simply did was to ask and find support. So we connected with AMSA, which is an association for rotational molders in South Africa, and asked for a mentor. And we got one, gentleman by the name of Gary Latekhan.
Yeah.
So Gary Latekhan actually now designed our machine. He is actually setting up the factory, because he put the machine in for us, installed it for us, and trained our staff. And he continues to do that. Okay. So we are learning as we go.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So it's exciting for everybody, because when the youth that are here that we have employed, they are enjoying doing something that they never imagined that people can do, you know?
Well, kudos to you, really and truly. And I suspect, whilst for now this looks like solutions for rural areas, that in the current state of affairs, these might even be solutions for urban areas. Do you have any customers calling you from bigger towns? So you're in Queenstown, which is a town, but perhaps around, you know, King Williamstown, Grahamstown, Umtata, even a city like Gqeberha, people calling you now and saying, help.
Yeah. No, you know, what was fortunate for us when we started this business, we also did what I said before. Mm. We wanted to sought out for help and asked for partnerships. Mm. So we knocked on the door of a businessman who is well established mm. in his business here in Queenstown by the name of Shakil Saheed. His company is called AR Boards. Okay, so he became our distributor. He said to us, you guys, just manufacture your tanks and I will distribute for you because I have a footprint, a good footprint in the Eastern Cape of about 600 independent wholesalers. So here in the Transkei area, for instance, there are many hardware stores all around, even the villages, mm. not necessarily inside the town. So you would have your big name, your builders, your cash build, but next to those big ones, you would have many, many independent hardware stores. Mm. So that is our market. So our mm. distributor is going to take our tanks and put them out there. So mm. our duty is just to do the marketing and spread the word, just like you are doing for us now.
No,
me
no.
on this program, surely many people are not going to know that within no time,
yeah.
a product by the name of GOG Tank
yeah.
is going to be out there.
You know, when people say that, I mean, we're humbled, but I don't ever want to take the credit because we're just talking. You could be talking to anyone, but the courage yeah. to go and start this business, the ingenuity, the responsiveness for you to say, no, we can't go on like this, Ekomani. That's got nothing to do with me. That's got everything to do with you and your husband, Michael, because many of us see problems around us and we turn a blind eye and we keep it moving. But you said, no, I'm going to do something about it and create opportunities for others. So never underestimate your own agency. We are just a vessel, but it's you. It's all you, colega.
Thank you so much for that. It's definitely humbling for coming from you too. You know, we are a mature couple. Okay, we are both in our 60s.
60s already?
Yes.
You don't sound it, ma. I should actually say sis colleague, and now I feel bad. Yes.
But you know what we said? My husband, as I say, he's a true entrepreneur. He said, the experience I have in business needs to be shared with our children, with other young people, so that we leave a legacy, you know, because these days we don't have financial muscle or monetary things that people, our children can inherit. But if at all, we leave them a legacy that can last for a long time. Because, even around small towns like these, we have businesses that are white-owned that have been there since the 1800s.
Mm.
And they are still owned by the same family, you know. So we said, if we start something as a family and make sure that our children are part of this business, this means they will never be hungry.
Mm. You know, so there's the one issue, the legacy building for posterity and for your children. But there's another issue. I once heard, it was actually a church service, and they were saying it's never too late to start something. That was the essence of that sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used the example of Colonel Saunders. And we all know Colonel Saunders started that fried chicken brand. And apparently he actually started that business as a retired Colonel Saunders at 72 was when the very first branch was opened.
Amazing.
At age 72. And we're talking back, I don't know what, maybe 100 or so years ago, when life expectancy wasn't great. So he really, really was near the end of his life. But that's when he started the business. So this idea that entrepreneurs need to begin before you're 30, if you want to be a millionaire by your 50, we're told that it's a myth. Yes, for some that's true, if that's the way you're inclined. But some people, that spirit of entrepreneurship can find you much later in life. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you begin.
You begin, yes. And there's one thing, you know, it is now, I think, a thing of the past to say, if you are an old lady and an old man living alone, the two of you, your children will look after you. you know, black tax doesn't work anymore these days because things are very tight. The economy is stressed for everyone, you know. So we thought if God gives you energy every day, you are still fresh and you still can think. I mean, there's nothing that happens to our brains. We stay alive, you know. So we just need to work, that's all, and work smart.
Yeah. And there's a lot of wisdom as well.
Yes. So there's one thing. We need to copy what other nations are doing, you know, and say we can't sit on our laurels, especially when you're gifted with something. As I'm saying, my husband is a true entrepreneur. I was an educator by profession, but because I'm with him, I learned the ropes of survival and hustling. So we're hustling together now.
I love it. Please tell us about Bob Michael Ndwasa. And when you say he's an entrepreneur and he said to you, let's start this kind of business, and then you began. I mean, this is technically a manufacturing and an engineering business, right?
Yes.
And many of us would be scared to do that. How do you start a factory, a whole factory with machinery and the costs and who's going to fund your business? How did that work? Tell us a little bit about him and how you went about setting up the business.
Yeah. During lockdown, this is when we actually sat down to say, let's write this business plan and let's be serious about, you know, seeking funding for it. Otherwise, Mike has been an entrepreneur all his life. I don't know what he hasn't done. He has, has sold clothes. He has started a restaurant. He has done that and that. You know, he's a musician as well.
Oh, wow.
So he's traveled, you know, stayed in KZN for some time and then came back home. So we met when he was in East London. So even then, he would have just a few years, you know, doing an 8-to-5, but go back to trying something in the line of business. So he began concentrating on being a landscape designer.
Okay.
So he started working for municipalities and doing parks and, you know, that is greening little towns around. But then the idea came now to say, okay, this has to do with a lot of water. Why don't we think about starting a you know, getting into this, you know?
So that landscape business, because the plants need so much water.
Yes, it gave him that. So that was 2017 when we started talking about it. And then in 2018, we said, okay, let's come back home and be here in Queenstown and really look for premises and see what we can do. So lockdown time gave us an opportunity to sit and really concentrate on writing a business plan. So we submitted these to CIFA, and CIFA took us and said, okay, they're going
to finance. What does CIFA stand for?
Small Enterprise Finance Agency, CEFA, S-E-F-A, Small Enterprise Finance Agency. So they took our business and a plan and looked at it, and then went through all the processes of CEFA, and then they approved us. So in 2021, this is when we started renovating the premises where we are now, and, you know, we started, you know, going forward. And then, as I say, we got the mentor, who is Gary Latikhan, to set us up and be able to do this. So he was fearless in the sense that he said, you know, if at all we have a mentor, somebody who's a guru internationally, we can't fear anything. He had set up other factories before, so he can do this to us as well. So he actually became our friend, you know. Mike doesn't listen to people who'd say, no, don't talk to so-and-so, he's arrogant, he won't help you. No, he makes his own relationships. And so when we got in touch with Gary Latikhan, we actually hit it off. So it was really nice.
Okay.
So what CIFA does is also he gives you support. They supported us a lot in terms of giving us mentors. Right now we're working with ladies who are, you know, supporting us in with management accounts.
And you didn't have to collateralize anything for this grant?
No.
Okay, no. And it's not a loan. It's a grant.
No, it is a loan.
It is a loan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so even locally, then we were supported by the Krisani Development Agency, which is called CHDA. So this agency now runs this park where we are. They also made sure we get everything going. And And then, as I say, there was the distributor now. So all those two people, especially the mentor and the distributor, made our business plan to, you know, to be acceptable and go forward.
And so as we wrap up our conversation, because it's lovely to hear that there are public agencies that help and give you the necessary, not just the money, the inputs, the mentorship, the distribution channels, and the manufacturing space. So what does the future hold for you? Because there's definitely the water tankers, there's the going off the grid electricity power lines, there are the two block houses. So you've got an entire value chain going there of manufacturing.
The future plan is to actually just keep going big, you know, because with the water tanks, we want them to be in the Gauteng area. We can have Go Green, Rotomolding, Gauteng, and have them in KZN and let people have this idea that we can go off the grid. We can be self-sufficient as family, and you know, and this is doable, right? So if we can achieve that, it means if South Africa can accept our brand, we are definitely ready to even go throughout Africa, right?
And we wish you that success, because what you are doing is you're solving for the challenges of living in Africa. You are a living example of African solutions to African problems. And those solutions are here. With a little bit of financial input, with a little bit of ingenuity, and definitely a kind of consciousness. Because if you hadn't really internalized the problems in the community around you, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. And what inspires me most is that you started this business with your husband over the age of 60. So many of us are so scared that we're losing time. And yet what you're saying to us is any time is a right time.
Exactly. You're bringing in experience, you're bringing in wisdom, and it means you are wiser than before. So you can always put your ducks in line, in order.
Let me retrace my steps and say, Mam Kolega Ntwase and Babu Mike Ntwase, thank you so much for what you do, and we wish you all the success. The company they've started is Go Green Roto Molding. Go Green Roto Molding. It's been the entrepreneurial edge. I've learned many things today. One, that some government agencies are very, very useful, such as the Small Enterprise Finance Agency, SEFA. That's for you out there if you're looking for money and mentorship. And then secondly, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't even matter how old you are. If you've got an idea and it's going to solve a problem around you, please draft a business plan and get going. Age is nothing but a number.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.